38 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of June, in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by. Making a party listening day, we are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming along, making a party listening day. We are here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We thank you for your presence and your patronage on this Friday. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for being there, and welcome to Day 12. Here's what's coming up. I got to announce this at the top. Coming up a little over 2 hours from now, coming up in the 2 o'clock hour of this very fine radio program, we'll be welcoming to the Rick Emerson Show live and in studio Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson from Clerks, and the soon-to-be-released Clerks 2, which I think comes out. That's a little alley-oop there. Anybody?
Yeah.
Hello. Bueller.
Huh?
No. Okay.
Kristen. We're just getting warmed up here.
Christian, it comes out when? Okay, there we go. That's why people tune in right there, because we are a font of information. Because the knowledge and wisdom just flows like the River Ganges. I got nothing. You know what it is? It's because I can only remember the release date for one film at a time. And right now, it's all snakes on a plane, baby. And August 18th, 2006, in your face. Snakes, plane, August 18th. Clerks 2 comes out. I should know, but I don't. I feel bad about it, too. Well, whatever. The point is they're going to be in the studio. Dante Hicks and Randall Reeves from Clerks and Clerks 2 will be in the studio later on today with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, who finally begins to earn his keep. He reviewed a movie last week. This week, he actually has guests. It's fantastic.
You sound like the booby doctor there. What happened?
Now he's going to be... I was rocking a little too hard last night.
In a chair?
Yes. Actually, sadly enough, for part of it, I was in a chair, which is the really sad part.
That's what I thought.
I remember when I used to go to shows, I'd stand up the whole time. Not anymore. That's a thing of the past now. It's me last night around 11 o'clock looking at my... And there was somebody... For the sake of decorum, I will not name this person, but there was somebody else there. Last night at this show, who was also making that statement. And this person probably doesn't want to be named because of that, because at one point, but we are approximately the same age, and at one point, both of us were looking at each other and going, God, how long are they going to rock? I have to go home. And it's a whole lot of looking at the watch and wondering when all the metal would end so I could go home and rest. It's just sad, really. The movie doctor is in. See, now I can't do it. Well, I'll figure it out. That's a honing that I've got to be doing, clearly. That's a skill that I've got to work on developing. Being able to summon the booby doctor at will. Well, in any event, coming up 2 hours later on today, the 2 o'clock hour of the show, Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson from Clerks 2 will be here. Scott Daly from FilmFever.org. Brittany Watch coming up at this hour. I believe. Corpse Watch. What else? Battle Watch coming up. Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio in Washington, D.C. And I believe Ed McCarthy will be talking to us, so I can use the phrase FEMA Katrina later on this hour. I think he's talking about the guy who used the FEMA money to get a sex change. What, am I crack or something? Whatever. So that's coming up. Later on, we'll also have today's top five from Kristen Bowie, who's been ably producing the show in the stead of Sarah Dillon. Sarah, who called me last night. Did I talk about this? Where she got to, she got a picture of the side of Matt Dillon's head.
Oh, I didn't hear about
that. Have I talked about that on the air?
No, you have not. No.
I lose track sometimes. Many people, I believe, in the entertainment business, this happens to them. Well, you will begin, you'll be regaling your friends with what you think is a fascinating, new, gripping anecdote. And it turns out it's something that you've talked about like 500 times on the air, and you can see their eyes sort of glaze over. And it's like, did I ever tell you about the time? Yes, you told us about the time. You know, but did I ever tell you the story? Yes, we've heard this. Move on. I did that. I was having a lunch with somebody this last weekend, like, and so let me tell you the greatest story about the thing that, and of course it was like he knew the story word for word because I'd already told it. So my point here is that I had this conversation with Sarah. I guess it was last night. It must have been while I was at home. But she got it was like a quarter of Matt Dillon's. Like the left side of his face. She's stalked now three different celebrities. And she did get a picture taken with What's His Guts, with Michael Ian Black. Isn't that the queerest folk guy?
I'm not sure, but
he finally came out of the Starbucks?
No, she went in and she found him. She knows. She was like, I had it with waiting on the sidewalk for that guy. Just went in.
Grabbed him by the scruff of the neck.
Took the bull by the horns. So there you go. So we'll talk to Sarah, I believe, is going to weigh in later on today about some stuff from Manhattan. So she'll be here. And there you go. All right, we're joined today, as we have been every day this week, by Kristen Bowie, who is here for Sarah Dillon. How are you? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling vivacious? Are you feeling ready to have another fantastic radio experience today?
Yes, definitely.
You don't have this kind of fun of music radio.
I totally agree. It's a lot of fun.
Are you ready to play seven songs an hour and to
smoke three cartons of cigarettes between every break where you get to speak for 10 seconds?
I was going to say, you ready to crank yourself up with those 12-second talk segments that you get to do?
Breathe life into those liners, girl.
You say that time and temp with passion. Yeah.
Yeah.
No comment. Oh, she has to go back to this job.
I was going
to
say, I guess she can't really weigh in.
She really can't.
She needs that job when this is done.
I want to hear what she says about us during those 10 seconds so she can fit it in.
Oh, I would never say anything bad about you. Come on.
Thank you. We appreciate that loyalty. No, that is the right answer. That loyalty will not go unrewarded. We remember those people who are allies of this show, and we remember those people
because we can cut them on one
who
hand.
Are not. I was going to say, and I got a long memory, and I got a long list of enemies. And so we remember those people who are not friends of the Rick Emerson Show.
I
as
had
well.
A short list of people calling me over 7 months earlier.
Yeah,
I fit on one page of my telephone.
I can look at my cell phone right now. I can tell you who called me during my unemployment. Those people shall be remembered. The rest shall die, and we will march on a road made of their bones. On that note, here's Tim Riley working on the following stories today.
Well, disgraced Portland police chief Daryl Foxworth's future will be decided by the mayor in moments. Perhaps he'll go into the line of, well, personal greeting cards for lovers.
He'll be, his chocolate body will be patrolling the streets of Portland in the role of captain, if the scuttlebutt is to be believed.
Well, perhaps working for downtown Portland, safe and clean. Well, Dick Cheney said it was necessary to remove Saddam to claim Iraq of terrorists. It looked like a charm, didn't it? Hooters will pay FEMA back for champagne. Please, treat me like a human being, pleads a tearful Brittany.
Well, there you go. What else really is there to talk about? I want to thank everybody who came out to the Hawthorne Theater last night. If I sound a little loopy today, it's just, I am seeing my voice is all, it's alternately gravelly and cracky. So I woke up this morning and Laura came in, she was like, it's time to take me to work. And I was, said, have you ever done this? If you work in radio or if you're a singer or something? You'll have those mornings where you try to open your mouth and speak, and it actually is just, it literally, it's like the La Brea tar pits opening up, where she's like, honey, you awake? And, you know, and it's just sort of a low rumbling. Wait, do we have breaking news?
We do.
Let's go to the city desk, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell this gripping story
it's
later.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
Now, I haven't seen this story. Maybe we should take like an over-under here. Is this about, Chief Foxworth?
It is. Ladies and gentlemen, right at the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, like a beacon of shining light. This is the latest.
I'm going to guess.
Who wants to guess? Everyone can take a guess before I tell you what happened.
I'm going to guess some sort of a, it's going to go in as permanent or whatever, like a written reprimand, a demotion, and I'm going to guess some sensitivity training. Kristen?
That sounds about it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's find out what happened to former Chief Foxworth.
Foxworth has been demoted to captain.
Oh!
8 allegations of misconduct were investigated. Investigators found Foxworth guilty of only one infraction. I guess it's bad poetry or romance or something. It is unprofessional conduct. That's what goes down in the personal record. Unprofessional conduct. The report concludes that Foxworth used a personal cell phone and email account, and that the contact with Oswald, that was that woman, took place during a time when the two had a personal, consensual, sexual relationship.
Yeah, she's a real looker, too. She's all kinds of fine.
Well, she's got the Winona Judd look to
it. It's so bad. Is that the best you can do? He's a normal-looking man.
I mean, if you're going to risk your job over it.
That's what I'm saying. He's a normal-looking guy.
Well, any port in the storm, I guess.
I don't know that he's really a 10 either, but he doesn't look to be complete. He's a cop, though. Mm-hmm. I was to understand that the cops had the pick of all the finest women.
I would think so.
I mean, come on now. That's like why 85%. There's there's only two reasons why 98% of the people become police officers, and you know that this is true. It's to get chicks and to club people, and quite possibly both. I'm not saying that you don't serve the public along the way.
The uniforms are cool, too.
The uniform is snazzy, and again, especially if you're one of those gang cops, if you work at the crash unit or whatever they call that, because if you're one of the gang cops, they just give you, like, the jeans and, like, the tight black T-shirt. And now those guys just spend all of their time doing leg lifts at the gym. That's it. It's like patrolling or they're bench pressing 6,000 pounds. And then they're eating, they're drinking shakes made of carrots and raw eggs and stem cells. And just becoming, they're sort of these incredible Hulk police officers. And then that's what you date. The hell is that about? Don't show that to the new recruits. You never get another cup. If you join the police force, you too can seduce women who look like this. You know?
Would this be on the recruiting brochure?
No, no, it would not. Really, in all honesty, she is sort of the... If you ever see those posters they have at the police department...
Maybe this is the best that they can be obtained there at the moment.
That's all that Portland police has to offer.
That's all.
That's so sad. They need to recruit better-looking female officers to have inappropriate relationship with, clearly. There needs to be some sort of a drive to...
I mean, we don't have, you know, Charlie's Angels on the street here. Is that what you're expecting?
No. I guess not. She does have feathered hair, though, so maybe that counts. But did you ever go to the police department and there's that 10-step meth poster where it's like, you know, 1989, and then they cut to like 1999, and she looks all hollowed out. But she's never all that good-looking to begin with. She's sort of a lot of bad road, like even at the beginning. This woman here is sort of picture number one. Or three, maybe.
I always walk by the police department right when they're letting the prisoners out right after the show.
Totally.
They have a plan just at that moment when I'm walking by.
And suddenly you're awash in orange jumpsuits and rattling chains.
Absolutely. So once again, former police chief Daryl Foxworth is now Captain Foxworth. How bad could be a captain? Could that be?
I don't know. I mean...
How big of a demotion is that from chief to captain?
I don't know. I don't understand.
How big your ego is.
I suppose. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to be a lot of fun.
So even as a captain, you probably could have gotten a chick like this.
Well, I hope so. Because if that's... I mean, if that's chief...
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't know. I think once you're down to, I don't know, maybe you're just getting women with no legs or something. I don't know.
That's Paul McCartney.
Bada bing!
He's not on the force. And we know where that led.
Speaking of which, by the way, since we were just talking about kooky FM radio DJs just a while ago, I'd like to warn you now. What is today, Friday? I would like to warn you now to leave your radios off for the duration of this weekend, or at least keep them away from the FM band. Because the day, the moment, the year that we have all dreaded here at the Rick Emerson Show has arrived. Paul McCartney turns, wait for it, 64 this weekend, which means that every radio station on earth is going to be playing that Beatles song over and over. They're probably doing it now. I would imagine right now that if you turn over to KGON or any station, you're going to hear the sound of a piccolo. Or an oboe, or whatever the hell that song is. I mean, which, that song, I have no problem with this. It's a fine piece of music. But and every journalist, every newspaper article, do you still love him now that he's 64? And then they're going to cut to somebody standing in front of a marsh in, like, Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Sir Paul turned 64 this weekend, and then you're just going to hear me jabbing out my ears with a meat thermometer. So let me take this last opportunity here. We've got... Whatever, 36 hours. I would like to take this opportunity to implore these music stations. It is not too late. You can still turn away. Do not succumb to the lowest common denominator programming dreck that we know is in your nature. I know that it's inherent, but still, you can turn back. You can resist the pull. You do not need to fulfill every horrific prediction that we have been making about you for the last year. I urge you now, choose the higher road. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Here's Tim.
Oh, we're sitting next to somebody who's going to be doing just that this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kristen. Hey, was I talking about an industry that you work in?
What time may we hear you say these things?
She probably doesn't want to say. It would be my estimation. You tell me if I'm wrong. It would be my estimation that Kristen Bowie, who's been ably filling in for Sarah, which is not an easy job, by the way.
No.
I got to say. And you didn't cry. I mean, the end of the show's not over. Got 2 hours and 45 minutes. But Tim and I predicted on Monday that you would cry.
Really?
We said it on the air. You were right here. Because you were saying, oh, this show's not all that intimidating. And we were like, well, give it time. Because this show has broken people in the past. And I don't mean people in the audience. I mean people here in the studio.
I'm hard to break.
All right. You don't want to say that in front of our audience.
We made...
You haven't heard. You don't know the way the audience has treated people in this.
They've been very nice to
the
me.
The audience has actually been very kind to you.
Yes.
But there's...
We made Christina cry with Kermit the Frog.
We made Christina cry. Yeah, I know that, yeah. So there's been several people who've just gone home and they've just spent the evenings weeping and drinking. So, well, all right. That gives us a goal, I guess. In any event, let's move on. I never did finish my story. Let me, well, I'll get to it later.
A story?
No, it doesn't matter. Right. Note to self, finish story. It's just a story about The Rock.
Oh.
I'll talk about The Rock.
Top of the battle watch.
Here's your battle watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
Well, the House today handily rejected a timetable for pulling U.S. troops out of Iraq, culminating a fiercely partisan debate between Republicans and Democrats, feeling the public's apprehension about war. Retreat is not an option, declared House Majority Leader John Boehner of Ohio, one of those Midwest O states.
What did he say? Retreat is what?
Not an option. We have to win.
Okay. Good.
Like there's a chance of winning something, whatever that might be.
I don't understand.
Winning
what the,
a block?
What is the prize exactly over there?
The prize is rubble. Dump trucks full of rubble are the prize.
I mean, that's
worth it all, isn't it?
Really? Really, we seem to have this insistence on going for whatever is behind curtain number two over there. Let me take time out from urging FM radio stations not to do things. Let me urge the government now. I urge you now. Resist this impulse. There is no brass ring. There's no ring made of dirt. There are no rings of any kind to be won. The time to leave is now.
Americans are living in the best places.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Iraqis are living in piles of dirt and broken cinder blocks.
I don't wish to sound like an ugly American, but perhaps that ship has already sailed, so let me just plunge on boldly ahead.
Is this an opinion or a fact? For those old-timers listening.
In my opinion, it would be my assessment, mm-hmm. which admittedly does not perhaps reflect the, this might not reflect the sentiment of everyone.
All baby boomers.
Yeah.
Who have contributed so much to our society. Who are going to be wheeled around, in their overstuffed wheelchairs by Hispanics making minimum wage for the next 40 years.
No, it's really true.
That's their reward.
Facing
big fat blobs in wheelchairs being wheeled into lunch and dinner by Hispanics making minimum wage. That's where our country's going. Should we talk about something else?
I don't even know what the hell I was going to say.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry I brought this up.
No,
I'm just trying to tell the truth about what's happening in our country because nobody seems to realize what's going on before them.
I'm just picturing it. Oh, man, because my neighbors across the street all look like that. I could just see it without any trouble at all.
It's already starting now.
God damn, bad hair extensions, listening to Fifth Dimension records.
Gotta be run over by those rascal things.
God. Well, let's just move on ahead. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Dick Cheney said the war in Iraq is partly responsible for the absence of terrorist attacks in the United States. He also said Iraq was...
How would they get here? They're over there. They don't have... But they don't have toasters. They're broke. They got nothing. I don't know if you all remember
square wheels on the ox cart.
I mean, what's... Really? What are they making?
And oxes with legs blown off.
They're creating their own tunnel or something to get over. There's nothing. Do you remember back in the glory days when Iraq was a huge dominating world power? Remember in 1991 when they were, this is what I remember hearing all the time from George Bush the first. They were the eighth largest army in the world. Whoa! And especially like there was a huge, there was this huge, race for like third and fourth and fifth. You know what I mean? Because in 1991 there was basically us and then like a distant second it was Russia who had missile silos that wouldn't even open because the staff had consumed the, hydraulic fluid. Because the vodka had rung out. That's a true story. Mm-hmm. And then there was like third, which was like Who else even had? Well, there's Britain, I guess. I suppose my brother-in-law is some sort of Canadian soldier. But what did they even do? I don't even know what Canada is guarding. Who they're guarding it against? I don't know whether it's that they're all gathered on a Waffle House or something. And then there was Iraq, which way down on the list. And that was in 1990. That's before we blew up everything they owned and took away their government. Yeah. I don't understand exactly how it is. We would see them coming. Like 2,000 miles away, we'd see them coming 6 months in advance. They'd all be piled onto a leaky board, just floating over here, Cuba-style from Iraq. Oh, death to the Imperial, you know.
Here come the Flintstones.
Ships made out of mud.
That's exactly it, man. Rafting over in cardboard. We will bury you. Okay, it's whatever, as they kind of go by. No one in Iraq is a danger to anyone that is not like 3 or 4 feet away. They're on donkeys. Literally, didn't we have that story last week? They're wrapping donkeys.
Still left around. They're using donkeys as bombs.
It's a true story. We're not. The best part
they're going to start firing donkeys at us pretty soon.
We don't even
just catapulting them.
It's going to be Monty Python style. Donkeys just coming over the barricades.
Oh, Purple Heart for donkey injuries.
We had this last week where they are literally sending explosive laden burros, like at the troop. That's it. I mean, we're not even fighting the Flintstones anymore. We're literally fighting Ringo Starr, that 5 million BC
movie. And where are all these PETA protesters for this?
No one knows.
They're protesting furs downtown.
Jesus, God Almighty! It's so embarrassing. It fills me with shame. We are still there and still having to read these horrible stories coming up. I mean, really, it's a country of people who they don't even know how to use chairs over there. They've got nothing. So, I mean, Jesus. Apparently, they're a monstrous threat, though. Let's just go ahead and plunge on ahead here, Tim.
Well, Dick Cheney said Iraq was a safe haven for terrorists. Taking down Saddam Hussein was exactly the right thing to do, to put a stop to it, apparently.
Okay.
That's today's episode.
I feel much safer now. There's your battle watch for Friday.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love America. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
Jesus God. All right. Let's see. I'm already getting these emails here. Rick, this is from, I shouldn't say who this is. This is a city employee. This is someone who works for, what does it mean? It's .or.us. Is that the county? I think it's county. Rick.
I think that's state.
Yeah, that sounds state.
Someone who works for the state. So he lost his chief of police gig. This is from a state employee. Mm-hmm. And got demoted for a skank. Memo to guys, if she does not look like Selma Hayek, she is not worth it. Remember this always. It's so true. And that's one of the, you know, he's just waking up every morning. It's like, you know, we always used to say that about the Jim Baker, you know, kind of back in the day. When he took a long, long look at Jessica Hahn. If Jessica Hahn was not a tremendous number of steps up from, I mean, I guess it's all relative when you're with Tammy Faye Baker, but still. The Willamette Week here, apparently, according to the Willamette Week, that picture of what's her name, Oswald?
Oh, yeah.
What is her name? The blonde? Anyway, apparently that is from a DUI arrest. Teresa Kaiser style. So, all right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Should we break here?
Yes.
Already?
The show's just whipping by. All right. Let's see. We'll come back. We'll talk to Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent. Later on, Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson from Clerks 2, Kristen Bowie's top 5 musical acts of all time. And we'll recap again a little bit in case you didn't catch it all yesterday. We'll talk about Scotty being strapped into the pace car yesterday. Back after this, it is the Rick Emerson Show. Live, I say, from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Back after this. All right, there's one of those cell phone noises. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. That's what I'm talking about. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2. Now I'm going to hear it every time we play this. Now it's just going to bug me. I'll have to go and delete this. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. I don't even really know what he's talking about, but I know it contained the word Hooters, and so that was enough for me. So I just...
Hooters is giving back to the community. Or back to FEMA, I should say. Money for champagne.
What else can Hooters give? They already give so much, Tim.
They do.
Let's see. Later on, we also got today's Top 5. We'll get... It's Christian Bowie's Top 5 Musical Acts of All Time. We'll also get to... Scott Daly's going to be in later, and the big news is he's going to bring Jeff Anderson and Brian O'Halloran from Clerks and Clerks 2 with him. So that is all coming up. Like, it's a three world-famous Phil Hendry show at 7 and so forth. We'll go back to the city desk here in just a few. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Washington, D.C., CNN radio news correspondent and woman of the world, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
Well, I'm doing well. I can't believe it's finally Friday. It's been a long week.
For you and me both, sister.
Woo!
You don't even know. It's not that it's been a bad week as such, but, you know, some weeks fly by, and then some weeks drag, and some. But this has been it's like we fell into some sort of a Stephen Hawking wormhole or something on Monday, because this week has taken a good 8 or 9 months to get through.
I don't think it's just the news business. I have friends all over. They're like, oh, gosh. Yeah. Wednesday, we were thinking, how long has this week been?
I don't know. By Wednesday, it seemed like it had been Thursday and Friday and Saturday and several other days, you know, like a Flag Day and a Shrove Tuesday, and it was all in there.
Exactly.
And it doesn't help this sort of Groundhog Day effect in that we seem to have... It's not that the news is repetitious as such, but it just... It seems now like every story that we talk about... It used to be that the Congress or whatever, they'd be fighting about something on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday they'd find something else to fight about. Now it's that they're literally, in football terms, they're just fighting over inches now. And what I mean by that is, so yesterday, it was either yesterday or 2 days ago, there was this big fight over a resolution basically saying, like, you know, we're Americans. I mean, that's essentially what they were fighting over, having like an embroidery cross stitch thing to hang in the House of Representatives that said, like, America doesn't quit. And then now, am I reading this right? That, because apparently we've won the war on terror, we've solved poverty, and we've cured all disease. And so now we're back to talking about burning the flag.
Well, it's funny, you know, in the resolution the House passed today on Iraq, it does actually say that the United States is committed to winning the war on terrorism. The United States will win. So it is nice that the House has gone ahead and decided.
Maybe they can also add in there that we're going to give 110%.
That's right.
And that we're going to go to Disneyland afterward.
But you're right. There is the flag burning debate is back, baby.
Is it 1992 again already?
That's right, and 1989. It is moving its way out of committee onto the Senate floor. The Judiciary Committee had passed it. It was a partisan vote. No big
surprise. No.
There was one Democrat who voted in favor of a constitutional amendment to ban flag burning, and it was the West Coast's own Dianne Feinstein.
Why in the name of all I... Okay, let me back up here for a second. First of all, I don't understand. Who are these people that every 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it is, introduce this flag burning amendment? Because I'm going to go to the airport. I'm going to get on the plane. I'm going to go to their homes, and I'm going to have a long, stern talking to with them. Because it just seems like we're trapped in some sort of like cyclical. Every 6 years they roll this out. And secondly, what is Dianne Feinstein smoking? It just seems sort of character for her. I mean, she's a little wacky, but I mean, even for her, it seems a little strange for her to be voting for.
Yeah, to be honest, we're still waiting for a response from her office. It has been a busy 2 days, especially about Iraq, but we did put in calls for a response from them, and I have not seen it yet. I haven't heard back from them, so I'm hoping to hear from them on this. But
I couldn't possibly be lucky enough that she's trying to pave the road for some higher office run. That would just be, as an entertainer, that would just be too much to ask for.
I would be surprised. I have not seen anything to indicate that.
Right.
But there's obviously some reason. She is generally a very liberal member of Congress, but she has been moderate on some things. She came out very early in support of General Hayden as the NSA and as new director of the CIA from the NSA. So she's an interesting one to watch right now. We'll have to see what happens with that. But as far as who is behind this, well, the Republicans love this issue. This is America, apple pie. This is something that really charges and electrifies much of the conservative base. Many people in the military who are conservative also just do not like the idea that it is legal to burn an American flag in protest.
Is this because they rolled out the bash the gays thing last week, which immediately was shot down and disparaged even by members of their own party? Is this their sort of plan B?
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, thank you. All right. That's see, yeah.
That's exactly right. I think what's going on here is the conservatives are not happy with Republicans. We have a sky-high deficit that has been getting worse. They have not seen them gain any ground on issues that they care about. And conservatives, a lot of them are saying, listen, we don't have to give you money. We don't have to vote for you in the fall. And those are the same conservatives that brought Republicans into power in 1994. So they thumbed back all the way to the 1994 yearbook, a little bit before that, as you said, 1992, and said, what issues can we get back out there to let conservatives know we care? And flag burning and gay marriage were the ones that came up. So that's why you see this moving forward. As a constitutional amendment, it would take an enormous effort to actually put this in the Constitution. It would take 2/3 vote in both the House and in the Senate. And it would also require ratification in 3/4 of the states. So it would be an incredible undertaking for this to really happen.
The Republicans are sort of like a 60-year-old comedian that's having to roll out that old catchphrase that got him a lot of money back in 1975. You know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. But seriously, folks, I see what you're saying. But I think there are some conservatives that do believe in this outside of the political gain that they have from it. I think if you went to Texas and talked to Senator John Cornyn, he would tell you, I think more or less from his heart, that he does believe the First Amendment does not allow people to burn the United States flag. Of course, many others, including the Supreme Court, have said otherwise and said, no, freedom of speech means all kinds of speech, and it means anything that's protest speech against the government. That's protected. But I think there are conservatives out there who believe very seriously that this is an attack on the United States. But, of course, all this leads to the question of, where are the flag burners? Are there really a lot of people inside the United States burning flags these days? There really, it doesn't seem like there's been an epidemic of flag burning. So that's where people are really pointing to. This is politics in an election year, but.
Well, the good thing is I can write down all of our comments and I can file it away, and then in 2008 I can bring it back when the next time they roll this out, we can have the same conversation again then.
So I guess just record it and play it back.
Exactly.
It is possible.
All right. We can just voice track it. We can save CBS Radio a little money. All right, Lisa Goddard, thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Rick.
All right, there you go. CNN Radio correspondent, Lisa Goddard.
This two-party system ceased to function long ago.
Seriously?
Some third or fourth party. Anything, really.
I was talking to Joni DeRoshi about that. She said, don't you feel bad about getting on the air and perpetuating the notion that somehow we live in a cynical, corrupt, politically driven society in which nothing changes? And it's really, really, here's the thing. I'm not really perpetuating that. I'm just sort of commenting on what is patently obvious to anybody with eyes. That's it, man. Because the Democrats are on the inside, what the Republicans are on the outside. And, they may not want to admit it, but you and I know that it's true. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, I heard a rumor that some married gay people were burning American flags.
No! Yeah. No!
I think it was in Massachusetts, which really isn't part of America.
They also hate children and ice cream.
They do. Well, here's half of the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch. That's what America's all about. Right there. It's Britney Watch for Friday. Here's the thing about this watch. I hate this theme, and I've hated it for like a year and a half. But it's now just so entrenched that I think if we switch the Britney watch theme to something else, people wouldn't even know what it was. And so this is just because we've worn a groove with it, and now people just expect us to play it.
I really didn't in Congress.
Now,
if they had to vote on it, it would still be here.
Seriously, that bed is sort of the Strom Thurmond. It's the Jesse Helms. It's there just because it's always been there. So I really, really deeply wish that we had picked something else from the very beginning. Here's Tim Riley.
Please treat me like a human being, cries Britney Spears. She burst into tears over privacy on NBC's Dateline last night. She's hitting back at the paparazzi.
She burst into tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay, this is Drew
That's
Curtis's.
Twice in one day, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is the cue for somebody on FARC to use the ironic tag. She burst into tears about privacy on Dateline, where she was being interviewed in front of 280 million people. Just like, that's for those of you playing the home game, just in case you blinked and missed that. All right, there you go. And she said, I am something. I'm a human being.
I am not an
animal. Mm-hmm. All right.
When asked what she'd like to say to the paparazzi, Britney broke down and cried while giving this response.
Britney,
I would just say that you have babies at home.
Oh, this is old news. We had this yesterday.
You have a wife, and if you don't,
this is longer
you have to realize that we're people and that we just need privacy and we need our respect. And those are things that you have to have as a human.
Who is we? Who is the we she's talking about? Oh, is that her and what's it? And Kevin Federline? I will never respect Kevin Federline. I don't care what he does. Yeah, Kevin Federline can save a building full of burning babies and cure cancer tomorrow. He will never. No white man who wears that hat and that horrible velour leisure bathrobe suit. No. It's never going to happen. It doesn't. You are permanently in the enemy of the people column. You know what I'm saying. With that horrible monogram and a hat, not just that bad hat, which he insists on tilting at like that retarded 18-degree angle, but it's got a feather in the side of it. There are no white men left who can wear hats with feathers sticking out of the side. It's over. You cannot do it. There's nobody. Just stop it.
How about a fox hunt?
No. No. No.
Brittany, please explain your short marriage to Jason Alexander. Is this someone from Seinfeld?
Yeah,
go back to 2004.
She married Duckman.
I was doing a lot of what I was told instead of what I wanted to really do.
Well, that
I didn't
is proper.
How to break out of that. So in my young mind, I'm like, I'm going to just get married to someone of my home friends. You know what I mean? It was just like something, but I have no regrets with anything that I've ever done.
There's no, by the way, that there's no actual answer in that answer. And a note also just for those who, for Dan.
She had a young mind back then.
She wasn't the cultured the Brittany of today. For Dan, who called in yesterday, who clearly was annoyed that we were violating his conservative belief system by not correctly identifying the word. I would like to thank now all those on the right side of the political aisle for fighting to conserve that sanctity of marriage and the purely religious and holy and consecrated. Jason Alexander and Britney Spears' four-minute marriage there. All right.
Meanwhile, the immature married Britney discusses how she found out that her husband, Kevin Federline, had a girlfriend who was pregnant when she met him.
Actually, I didn't know until 2 months later. But I don't blame him because they weren't technically together when he came to me anyways. They were, you know,
what the hell does that mean?
They were not involved in the sanctity of marriage.
I don't understand.
Actually, I didn't know until 2 months later. But I don't blame him because...
Let's take this one at a time. She didn't know until 2 months after they were together or 2 months after they were married. Does anybody know?
No.
Actually, I didn't know until 2 months later. But I don't blame him because they weren't technically together when he came to me anyways. They were, you know, apart.
What does technically together mean?
I don't know. Were they even... What's her name? Shar Jackson? Were they even married? Was he married to Shar Jackson?
I believe so, yes. Was he?
I honestly don't know.
Scotty, would you get right on that, please?
Clearly, Britney Spears is going to be no roadmap in trying to discern the truth. Maybe Dan can call in and help us discern the truth from mere allegation here. And I don't understand. How is it that you would be with a guy... Christian, let me ask you this. You're a woman of the world. If you had dated a guy and then he waited 2 months into the... That's 8 weeks, by the way. That's almost an entire a quarter of the year before telling you that, oh, by the way, I've also got chillins with this other woman.
I'd be really
bothered. How would you feel about that? And then on top of the velour suit and the stupid leany way that he walks. So, all right, there you go. Well, there's that.
Brittany, please talk about a recent situation where you almost dropped your son in New York and were photographed crying at a restaurant.
I was hungry, and we stopped to get something to eat. And instead of the people inside of the place trying to help, they wanted to take pictures as well. And that's when I started crying, when I thought, you know what, you're a mom. Why are you asking to take my picture right now? And you see that I'm crying. Are you that ignorant?
She made a pact with the devil wanting all this attention.
All right. Scotty is claiming that... Is this true or are you making this up? He's time for this. Is there something you heard? Scotty is claiming that that there was some sort of a condom failure in Kevin Federline's relationship with Shar Jackson. Is that true? I'm asking a screen. All right. Let's see here.
We're talking to a blue screen.
Carol, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hello, Rick.
Hi, Carol.
I don't know how you guys can have your Britney watch for so long and not know the answers to her questions.
Because there's only so much room in my head. And really, sort through at the end of the day, and things labeled Britney go in the discard pile.
Oh, in watching it last night, well, she is just bad, man. She is bad.
Please tell me that you did not actively seek this out to tape it, that you just happened to turn on and it was there.
No, here's what happened. Is I've got a big screen, and you can watch two programs at once. So during the commercials of the program I was watching, I watched that.
Okay. All right. Now, we'll forgive that. Okay.
And so anyhow, no, they were not. He wasn't married to Shar Jackson, and for his condom to break, well, would it happen twice within 2 years?
I guess that doesn't make any sense, right? Because she, you know? Yeah, she got two
from
kids.
The same package.
Yeah.
And this deal, they told last night that she's worth $100 million. She sat on there with $10 hair extensions chewing bubble gum like
was she wearing the belly shirt, you know? She was wearing with Matt Lauer's interview?
Yeah, was she showing a lot of, I mean...
A lot of boob.
Well,
yeah.
and not only that, she's got that unpleasant post-pregnancy, the stretchy, you know what I'm talking about, the stomach,
yeah,
where you should go.
Oh, yeah, it's on my webpage.
Yeah.
listen to it. Yes, I've got high-resolution photographs of it.
Yeah.
Go look at them now.
Her pink bra snapped in the center, but they didn't do anything about it, so her bra was sticking up over the top of her shirt.
She's all style, that girl.
While she's snapping her gum, and then when she started bawling, she was wiping her nose and then running her hands through her hair. So her dollar extensions looked really a lot better.
I like how you're all Judith Guest though. You're all the Miss Manners and whatnot.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, this is a total waste of television, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Just to see how skanky she's turned out.
No, I got a whole thing for trashy women. You know that. There's really trashy girls have a strange allure to me and to many men. But the thing is, you know, the deal breaker with her though is not even the kid. It's that husband. It's that Kevin Federline. It's not even Jason Alexander. I don't remember what that guy looks like. But it's like
he wouldn't agree to come on the show with Matt Lauer. So they showed a clip from him doing an interview with, I don't know, it was another TV show.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
He told on there how he pays his way for everything.
Uh-huh.
Everything he does, he pays. And he says, and my wife supports me 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. He really is the Johnny Drama to her Vincent Chase. There really is no dispute. All right, thank you, Carol.
Okay, thanks.
All right, there you go. No, it had nothing to do with her being the poor, ignorant, white trash. That's why, that's kind of a turn on to me, actually. And it's not even that she has a kid. It's not even that she's been married or whatever. I think I speak for most men here when it's like you could just never go anywhere that Kevin Federline had been. I mean, because you would just see that guy's face floating through your head. I mean, you would be trying to have an intimate moment with Britney Spears, and you just see that big, stupid, grinning face of Kevin Federline every time you close your eyes. I mean, it's, you don't want that. That'll scar you for life. You will neither be able to achieve nor sustain. That will not be that will be a deal quasher for any of that. Let's get these two calls, then we'll go back. Are we still? Should we finish the Britney? Are we done with that?
Oh, we did, but you're kind of still talking about it.
So well, okay, we got another Britney call here. Hi, Ethan. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, dude. Well, first off, thanks for putting that image of the smiling cape head in my head there.
Yeah. And it's sort of, it's like an Office Space kind of a thing. Sort of a, yeah, if you could just move to the left.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be great. Just sort of that. Except it's him, but he's throwing in like a lot of word and like, you know, izzle at the end of everything. So,
yeah.
All right. What do you got?
Pleasant. Hey, man, for an alternate Britney Watch theme, yes. I have in my possession Mr. Bungle doing Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Really? Mr. Bungle featuring Mike Patton for Best Known for Faith No More and so forth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Very odd, tongue-in-cheek, you know, very purposely poor production value and stuff.
Here's the weird thing about Hit Me Baby One More Time, and I've talked about this before, and I say this with no shame, that I'm a huge fan. I love that song. I really do. I sincerely and honestly and truly love that song. And this is one of those stories I have told where the first time I heard Baby One More Time. Now we're talking about her like she's dead. I remember the first time, but I was in an office and a guy had left his MP3 player on his PC just playing. And I was walking through the office and I heard Baby One More Time. I walked through just as the hook was playing. I immediately thought it was, and I'd never seen the video. So I just heard that. I'm like, oh, that's a great song. That's kind of a catchy pop thing. What is that? And then I also thought she was black for the longest time, like, because I'd only heard the song, and they notch her voice down. They lower it so much that I thought it was a black girl. And then I saw the video, and it's like some 12-year-old girl from Louisiana, and she's in the schoolgirl outfit and whatever. But I've heard more bands cover that song. Like, I saw this band Travis. They're like this pop band from England. They covered it. I think, God, who else? It was like Grantley Phillips has covered it, so it's a song that a lot of people have done. But if you could send that to me, I might use that.
This is a purposely terrible version, though.
Yeah.
You know, Mike Patton doing his absolute worst impersonation, you know.
That guy, he's kind of the man of a thousand voices, too, so.
He truly is.
Yeah, really. I'm a pretty big fan of that guy and everything
he
does.
Yeah, you're kind of gay for him, yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
That's the scientific term. Thank you. There you go. That's Ethan. All right, there. Okay. Every time I think we're climbing into respectability, just bam, right there. Let's end that. There's the Britney one. Thank you. Thank you for summing that all up in one phrase so succinctly. We've got Rick, this email says, this is from Tony. I was there, he says, when you first introduced the Britney Watch theme song. You chose it because she sounded hot and dirty, a genuine bad girl. Keep the song. It reminds us of those long-lost days when Britney was hot and desirable. I think that is true, because I think it was on her greatest hits record or something, or it was on a soundtrack, because it wasn't on a regular album, or maybe it was. I don't even remember anymore. It's so long ago. But I think that was when Matt was still on the show, and I think we decided that she sounded really hot and seductive there. And it's amazing how the worm can turn. I mean, literally within like a day and a half, suddenly we were all, it's like we did with Tom Cruise. We just all woke up one morning and went, no. And we were done. All right, there you go. That's that. Rick. Let's see. You are a punk. Thank you. I noticed when you were talking to Lisa Goddard, your raspy-sounding voice perked right up. Did you also fix your hair and suck in your gut? Sissy. All right, thanks. Mike and Port. Yes, I did. My voice is perhaps, I am not in full voice, as singers would say today. I had a bit of a late night. I went through, I can't even talk, and I'm slurring, and I sound like I'm hungover. We'll talk about it here a little bit at the top of the hour, but I went to the Hawthorne Theater last night to see a bunch of bands play the rock. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Bill Gates has announced he is stepping down as chairman of Microsoft so he can put more of his efforts into work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This is number five.
All right.
Obviously, this decision was a hard one for me to make. I'm very lucky to have two passions that I feel are so important and so challenging.
He'll still be allowed to work part-time and keep most of his benefits.
But they're going to keep him to 29 hours a week, though, so he can't ever get overtime or be covered. All right. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll break.
Well, let's see here. A 27-year-old man... Oh, this is from Florida.
Oh, really? Oh, damn. In the name of all that's holy. All right.
A 27-year-old man from Brevard County, Florida, is accused of shooting a chaperone because they wouldn't let him into a Sweet 16 party. Lamar Stanley went to a private party on June 3rd. Now, he's 27. What's he doing at the Sweet 16 party anyway? But a chaperone would not let Stanley into the party because of his age. Deputies say he shot the man in the stomach. The chaperone survived the shooting. Stanley was taken into custody.
If you were in Florida, wouldn't you just assume that everybody you met was armed and on drugs and crazy and ready to shoot you in the face at the slum? Do you have the time? Bam! Right in the face. One dead bastard. That's everybody in Florida carries a gun and probably a taser and probably an alligator in their pants as well. And they're ready to unleash all of those things on you at the drop of a hat. So you tread lightly, kids.
Well, Hooters restaurant chain is looking for FEMA's address. Company chairman Bob Brooks says he wants to reimburse the agency for a $200 bottle of champagne that was purchased with a government credit card issued to Katrina victims. It was purchased in San Antonio. In an announcement in Atlanta, Brooks said, quote, "It bothers me as an American that resources that were intended to help victims of this tremendous tragedy were spent in this manner. Even if it's my restaurants, it's still not right. If FEMA will let me know where to send the check, I'll get the $200 out right away."
And so it was for what? What are they buying? Does it say what they purchased?
Let's see, a bottle of Dom Perignon champagne.
I think there's like a special wings thing where you can get...
They sell champagne at Hooters?
Yeah, you get this, like, you get like 20 wings and a bottle of Dom Perignon.
Now, are you speculating, or do you have personal knowledge?
No, I saw it on the menu.
You were there?
I went there for a beer.
Uh-huh. See, this is what I call the Hooters phenomenon, though. There's the whole, no, I went there for blank, insert thing that's not like chicks. Typically, that's guys doing that, though. Matt Peterson, that was his whole thing. He's like, because Matt, not to knock Hooters, but we would be, it's just that a lot of people feel compelled to do that. We would be at Entercom, Matt would like round up his posse of dudes, and they would, his posse of vatos, and they would all be heading to Hooters. And I'd say, hey, you know, where are you going for lunch? Because, like, I would have him bring me stuff back. And he'd go, oh, we're going to Hooters. And then without provocation, without my asking, it was always, we're going to Hooters. 3, 2, 1. But it's only for the hot wings. Like, the other one is chili. Everybody's, hey, we're going to there for the, Hooters for the chili is the new, I read it for the articles. You just write that down. That's a glib witticism that is also a cultural observation. You write that down. Adam Carolla will be saying that within a week or two. You make a note of it. You heard it here first. All right. We should probably break here, don't you think?
Maybe a good time for that,
yeah. All right. Here's what's coming up. We're going to break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Scotty J a little bit about the pace car that he got strapped into yesterday. I'll give a little recap of last night's big honkin' metal show, which is why I'm all more voiced out today. What else? We have Ed McCarthy coming up from CNN Radio Atlanta. Later on, Scott Daly will be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. What else? And Jeff Anderson, Brian O'Halloran from Clerks 2 going to be in the studio as well. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland on Friday. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Yeah.